This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I'm your host, Michael Trim Jr., aka Slim Trim, and we got some great topics today. We'll discuss the FAMU versus Alabama State game, give midseason grades for the FAMU football team and why, thoughts on Alabama's upset loss to Vandy, and discuss which wide receiver are we taking right now, Ryan Williams or Jeremiah Smith, along with others. But to help me with this, we have some great guys in the studio.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Jay Scott from the 813.
Yo, it's the guy, EJ, aka EJR3. Every junior remember it. Let's make some more.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's GT. They call me 3P, coming from the C-Pole, Savannah, Georgia 912. Let's get it.
Alrighty, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Alrighty. First topic, first order of business. Let's recap the FAMU versus Alabama State game. Jalen?
Listen. For one, it's good to have a game because I feel like we haven't watched FAMU play football in a minute. They got another bye week this week. I'm getting real sick of this. I want to go back to Bragg. But, you know, we took care of business. They scheduled us for our homecoming. Overall, it's good to come out with a win, but there's still some blaring issues that we have to address before we get into Jackson State and Southern, which are going to be some key games if we want to win the East. Penalties has been an issue. Although we are playing less games than our opponents in the SWAC, we're averaging just about as many penalty yards. Turnovers, another issue. Daniel Richardson had two interceptions. One of them was pretty egregious, I'm not gonna lie. But overall, we got our first turnover on defense. Defense is starting to pick up a little bit. Alabama State ran for some pretty good yards the first half, but we held them to zero passing yards in the first half. Again, this was a good tune-up game. I feel like we didn't get Alabama State in their full extent. But I'm looking forward to see what they do after the bye week going into Jackson.
Yeah, the FAMU versus Alabama State game, went there for their homecoming, handled business. But, I mean, to this day, three wins, don't have any convincing wins if you ask me. I feel like FAMU has to step it up. As Jay Scott said, turnovers has been a big issue. We got four turnovers that game. Can't happen. Have to tee up on that and basically try to make sure we don't get the same amount of flags we have. I think we can do better in terms of stopping the run as well. I think we did better second half going overall, but I got to see more out of FAMU in order to say I'm convinced about anything from them.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we've had that convincing win yet during the season, and I hope it can be against Jackson State, you know, because they're both in the SWAC East, and if we win that game, that kind of solidifies our chances of going to the SWAC Championship game and hopefully the Celebration Bowl again.
What I do appreciate out of that game, though, is that on offense especially, we were talking about how Daniel Richardson wanted to spread the ball around more. We got more people involved. Ace Cobb has been a pretty good receiver for us the last two games. He had his first touchdown against Alabama State. So again, just kind of spreading the wealth. And on defense, Nayron Jenkins came up with a huge scoop and score that pretty much iced the game for us. But individual players like that who are, you know, older in leadership, they're going to need to take some of these younger guys under their wings, because even when we have a Daniel Richardson or Jamar Gissett leave, we're going to need to, you know, reload. Our whole theme this year has been reload and repeat. So moving forward, we have to continue to do that in this season as well.
Yeah, shout out Nayron too. That's my guy. So seeing him step up, I feel like he's been big stepping up. He's gotten his opportunity to shine. So I just had to shout out to him real quick.
I got a class with him. Cool dude. But I want to talk about the turnovers, because we've seen D-Rich throw two interceptions. That was kind of uncharacteristic for him. But I believe that's the best way our offense moves the ball, because our run game is not efficient right now.
Right.
We expected – help me out, Jalen.
Kelvin Dean
to, you know, take that leap and be a solidified running back one, but he hasn't been. So I think pushing the ball downfield is our best mode of offense right now to extend plays.
I mean, at the end of the day, there's a saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Correct.
But I don't want us to be too one-dimensional, because you're going to go against a Jackson State team who has a quarterback who's putting up the same amount of yards, touchdowns, and with a less interception rate than Daniel Richardson. They also can run the ball. And that's what makes Jackson so dangerous. On top of playing them at Mississippi, that game is going to be one I'm going to be on edge for. I really don't know how I'm going to call that. It just depends on which team shows up to play, because I feel like we have the capability to put on these big plays, these long drives, and get the stops that we need on defense. But it comes in spurts. I mean, the first half, we looked pretty good. We had a good first drive. We scored with Ace Cobb. But offense kind of stalemated for a while. Then we picked it up a little bit at the end of the first half, scored one more time to open up the second half, but then we didn't score until Nayron Jenkins scoop and score on pretty much Alabama State's last drive. So we're gonna need to have consistency across the board to be successful the rest of the season.
Definitely. Now, on to midseason grades. What would you guys grade the team?
I'm an optimist. I mean, as much as the flack as I feel like we've been giving them, they still winning the games that they needed to win. You know, of course, they dropped against Troy, which I think was a very winnable game. So a little disappointing there. Against Miami, Miami's still, that's my college football team. So that's going to be, you know, the team to watch for the college football playoffs, in my opinion.
You're a Miami fan?
Yeah, we've discussed this, Mike.
My fault, bro. I didn't know that.
But no, nah, overall, I would say like a B minus. I mean,
okay.
I feel like C is average, but they're still having, like, I didn't expect for Daniel Richardson to be playing as well as he is this season. I didn't expect for, you know, our defense to have the struggles that they are this season. So that's where it's a kind of a two-sided coin, but I'm going to go B minus.
Okay.
I was about to say C plus, but when Jay Scott said Daniel Richardson playing better than expected, he has played better than expected. I would say he's up there for SWAT Player of the Year right now in competition with Jackson's QB. So with that being said, I'll say B minus. I'll upgrade to B minus.
Okay, I gave him a B. You know, I like where the team is at the moment, but obviously I did expect them to be a little bit better in certain moments during the season. But at where they are, I believe what 3-2 right now.
Yeah,
3-2.
Second in the SWAT East.
Second behind Jackson, right?
Behind Jackson. Jackson's played more games.
Yeah, so the Troy game, that's one game that sticks out. If they would have got that W for Troy, I probably would give him an A. I think if everything stayed the same but they beat Troy, I probably would have given him an A for
so
the season.
So what do you think the biggest issue lies in? If everything were to stay the same?
It's just the inconsistencies. The offensive inconsistencies, the defensive laps that our secondary has quite often. So I think a B. And also dealing with the hurricane issues, taking these breaks off.
Yeah.
I think that plays a factor in it as well.
We got one game at Bryant.
Starting to kill us.
Yeah. You can't get into a rhythm.
Can't at all. And then you're giving other teams to have more time to scout on you. You aren't being able to, you know, like you said, find a rhythm just against other teams. Because at the end of the day, you can only get so far against playing against the guys you see every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. But let's move on to some national college football. Alabama dropped the game against Vandy.
Hey, shout out my man Austin, man. Anchor down.
He's a Bama fan.
He's from Nashville, so he says he's an Alabama fan and a Commodore fan. I talked to him. He said he was fine either way.
So he didn't care?
Nah, he didn't. He was actually
excited. That's crazy.
Shout out Tristan, too.
Yeah. Mr. Hutton.
Oh, yeah. I wish he was in the studio right now. I want to see your face.
Jalen, what's your thoughts on the game?
You know what? I'm not going to take away from Vanderbilt, because obviously they played a very complete game. The Diego Pavia, he put the team on his back. I don't think we've seen a quarterback play out of that since a quarterback play of his caliber against Alabama since I forgot what that quarterback's name from Texas A&M when they beat him on that that overtime field goal.
Johnny Manziel?
No, not Johnny Manziel. It was pretty recent, like 2021. It was like the last time Alabama lost to an unranked team.
Oh.
But Alabama just has some issues on their defense that need to be addressed and fast. And I'm not sure that, because DeBoer is more of an offensive-minded coach, and they've been able to perform on offense. Milroe still looked pretty good. He had some lapses, but I think that's more on him still adjusting to the internal clock that you have to have as a quarterback. He held the ball a few times too long. Ryan Williams has been a star for Alabama, but he can't be your only playmaker on offense. Again, I'm not going to take away from what Vanderbilt did, but Alabama seriously needs a gut check.
When it comes to Alabama versus Vandy, that game, they only lost by 5. The first thing that stands out to me is the time of possession. Alabama had 17-52. Vandy had 42-08 time of possession. That's a big difference in time of possession. They only lost by 5. I think they didn't play with enough efficiency. They didn't play with enough effort. I don't know if it was coming off of the win against Georgia. I don't know what it was, but I mean, that stands out to me the most, and I just feel like that's what Vandy took advantage of, having the ball in their hands, the rushing attack. Alabama had more penalties, more turnovers, all that. I think it played a role, and Randy came out, played a good game.
It was a really uncharacteristic
of
Alabama. But like you mentioned time of possession. That became so crucial towards the end of that game, because Alabama eventually did start scoring, but they kind of ran out of time.
Yeah.
I mean, Diego Pavia was able to ice the game, but I still think if Alabama had that one more drive, we could be talking about this like, oh man, Alabama just narrowly escaped. You can't even use the excuse of, oh, they're riding off the high of beating Georgia. Georgia lost. I mean, came out, lost. It was tragic, but they came out and took care of business against Auburn. So you can't kind of coast off of who your previous opponent is. You have to lock in on who you are now, and that's what makes you a championship team.
Yeah.
Right, I agree with what you just said. You can't just coast and go off of what you did last week. You have to game plan for the opponent that you're facing this week. And I don't think Kalen DeBoer did that very well. And you talked about Jalen Monroe a little bit, and I don't think this game was on him at all.
No, I don't.
I think it was a complete game plan thing with the coaching staff.
I feel like it just was a wild, wild west over the weekend with all them top 10 teams losing. I didn't really get to watch the Vandy and the Alabama game like that just because, I mean, you know, I had to cover my own game. But it kind of shows, I mean, this thing might be wide open for, you know, who's going to win the Natty. Is anybody can get beaten on any given week. You had Alabama just knock off Georgia, who was they were number one team, and then they turn around and lose to a team like Vanderbilt. So one thing I got to complain about though is I don't like seeing SEC team storm fields. Like you would think Vanderbilt was in the Sun Belt how they stormed the field. Like I'm just
that was a championship. When you haven't beaten a number one team in your program's history at all, and you haven't beaten Alabama since my mom since like 43. I'm gonna like,
Jesus.
I think that's a justifiable.
Yeah. It was another game that had somebody throwing the field.
Tennessee. Yeah.
Like who won? Arkansas won it.
Arkansas won.
He was another top five team. I mean,
that's a big win for the Tennessee.
You'll think Arkansas and the MEAC. Like you'll think Arkansas and the MEAC how they storm the field. Like that's all I'm saying. Like, you know. But I mean, it's big win. It's definitely big win. So it's understandable because I mean, a lot of schools don't get to say they beat teams like Alabama. So I ain't gonna hate on them too much.
I got a question. We talked about upsets. So like, it was a couple upsets this weekend. We seen earlier in the season, NIU beat Notre Dame. Do you guys think this is gonna be a trend, like moving forward in the future?
This season is more of a, you know, winner takes all. If it depends on the team that shows up any given Saturday, but going forward, especially with the new thing that passed with the national letter of intent, we're seeing the effect that NIL money and the transfer portal is having in college football, and it's only going to continue to get even crazier. It's not like we've not heard of these smaller schools, you know, beating up on, you know, your Power 5 or Power 4 teams now, but it's going to become more consistent because with these conference realignments, you have teams like Miami traveling all the way to Cal. They're playing on a 3-hour time difference, and you have things where players can now go to different teams, not depending on where they're needed, but where they're making the most money, where they can market themselves the most. Upsets are gonna happen in college football, but they're gonna continue to happen more often now, in my opinion.
I love upsets. I love the chaos. I love, you know, just seeing everything just get flipped around a little bit. I mean, it's just, like I said, man, it adds to, I won't necessarily say parody, but it just, you know, any given Saturday, man, anybody can get knocked off. And you know, when you see the teams like Alabama and those top-ranked teams playing against unranked teams, everybody always think, oh, it's going to be a blowout. But when you actually see a team fight with those teams and get the victory, it just adds to the suspense. It's not more so we know who's about to win the championship this year.
To me, Alabama and Vanderbilt wasn't even the – like, it was the biggest upset, but in terms of conference play, that wasn't the biggest upset. The biggest one was Minnesota-USC, because now with USC, they were projected to finish in the top three of the Big Ten. And now you lose against bottom feeder Big Ten team. I mean, Minnesota's no pushover, but that shakes up how that is shaped up, because now you have Michigan, Oregon, and Penn State all in the hunt. So, again,
You didn't name Ohio State.
Ohio State as well. You got it, Mike.
I'm just making sure.
I'm surprised about the upset of Texas A&M versus Mizzou. That took me back. 41-10.
Been having issues all season.
That's true, but I just think the trend's gonna keep happening. I love upsets though. I love seeing it. I love when the crowd storms the field. I want it to keep happening, so I think it's gonna keep happening. So.
Alrighty, let's talk about some playmakers, man. Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams? Who y'all taking right now?
I don't see. What are we comparing here? Are we comparing their effectiveness on the team or just how they perform like day to day?
Which wide receiver would you rather have in your locker room?
I'm gonna say, because one is more NFL ready in my opinion. I would say Jeremiah Smith is more NFL ready. He looks more NFL ready.
Why would you say that?
Size. He's much bigger. I just feel like he's a go-getter. He's the type of receiver you want on your team.
Size matters?
Yeah.
Why?
I think it matters because, well, if you look at this, I was watching both highlights. Jeremiah Smith, he's going to get the ball every time. You can put it anywhere. He's going to go get the ball. He's make catches. I think size matters. They run about the same, in my opinion. I don't think Ryan Williams is much faster than him, so I can't give Ryan Williams that advantage.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think he's much faster than Jeremiah Smith?
He'd be sliding,
but like, watch some Jeremiah Smith highlights. I'm telling you.
Jeremiah Smith, like you said, his size, so he is a good 50-50 ball getter. That was crazy. Sorry, y'all. But the reason I ask you that, Mike, when you say, like, what are you looking for in a receiver, is because I feel like Ryan Williams thus far this season has been a game changer, where Jeremiah Smith has been a consistent weapon that they use at Ohio State, if that makes any sense.
And I think it comes with situation.
Yeah.
With Jeremiah Smith, he has a potential first-round wide receiver next to him. I don't think Ryan Williams has that right now, at least. I would take Ryan Williams. If we're just talking about today, I'm taking Ryan Williams. And it's not even because of the play on the field, because I think they're pretty much even. It's more of the marketability side of it.
Really? I mean, definitely. I feel like they're both very marketable.
I'm going to say, what you mean marketability?
I think when it comes to marketability, first of all, Ryan's 17. That's already creating headlines every week. He's 17. Then his social media presence. You see him doing TikToks with the softball team, with the track girls. It's like, I think that matters. That puts people in the seats. I mean, they're going to get people in the seats regardless, but I think they're going to be more invested in that program.
I disagree, because I mean, if you've been watching football, you know who Jeremiah Smith is.
Yeah.
That man has been
right.
On
you know who he is, but
he's been on Bleacher Report, 7-on-7 Warrior. I mean, they had a whole document, like they were documenting Chaminade's season. And again, he is like the go-to guy. So I can't say that marketability is what sets him apart.
Trim, you saying so his name makes you want to take him over Jeremiah Smith?
I think when it comes to if their play is dead even, I think, yeah, I'm going to pick the one with the bigger name.
I mean, Ryan Williams got more yards on the season.
Let's compare the stats.
462.
And he's also played in a big-time 16. Game and performed. We haven't seen Jeremiah
Smith. I got the stats pulled up right here. So Jeremiah Smith got 23 catches for 453 yards, six touchdowns.
19 catches.
Can I get the stats off, please? 23 catches, 453 yards, six touchdowns. Ryan Williams got 19 catches, 544 yards, and six touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. But he's 6 foot 175.
No matter.
Devontae Smith was about the same thing, you know what I mean? So
I was just about to compare.
And again, if you want a big play, I'm not gonna lie, I'm throwing it up to Ryan Williams. But if I want somebody who's going to march down my field, I mean, he's gonna give me a good 15-yard dig. He's gonna get off, allow us to run the ball, let us allow our play action to get involved in the game. I'm gonna go with Jeremiah Smith. So I don't know if you can really compare the two receivers.
Why don't you think Ryan Williams can do that though?
He's still inexperienced. As much grace as we give him, he's a playmaker. There's no doubt about that. But I want somebody who is a little more tenured and who has like the size, like EJ said, of an NFL receiver and the caliber that they have to be on my team.
He just looks more NFL ready.
We're not talking about NFL.
I know. I'm just saying. You said, who would I take right now? I'm saying I'm taking him because I'm going. Yes, I think he can utilize his skills, his size. He can get the ball up top. I can throw it to him
in
anywhere.
College, right?
In college, right now, yes, okay. He's doing it still, making one-handed catches, making plays.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams. I just think it's just, I don't know. It's just deep, big plays. That's all it is.
6'3", 215 is hard to kind of pass. So, with that being said, I'm still gonna take Ryan Williams.
Exactly.
Right? Why you taking Ryan Williams?
I don't know. I mean, with Ryan Williams, like I said, he's the same size as Devontae Smith. And I know you're saying, oh, yeah, one guy got the biggest size, but that doesn't always mean that he's going to be more productive, I guess. Granted, I haven't really seen much of Jeremiah Smith. Like I said, I don't really get to watch college football as much as I want to. But I've seen Ryan Williams play, and, you know, he's a guy that's very impressive. He's a guy that can get out there. He did B2A to Georgia, you know what I mean? So, you know, he's that guy. But also, where these guys are right now, this is not where it's always going to be. These guys are going to get more improved. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys are going to progress as their college career going, because they still got two seasons at minimum that they're going to play.
Alrighty. Now, moving on. Which Week 7 matchups are you guys looking forward to and why?
I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is going to be the Red River Rivalry. I can never say that. Like, try saying that five times.
Red River Rivalry. Red River Rivalry.
But yeah, I think that's probably the obvious answer. Obviously, it has, you know, huge implications in the SEC. It's the first time these two teams are playing within the SEC right now. Texas at the number one spot has something to prove after losing to Oklahoma last season. I think another big game matchup. Looking over here. Ohio State, Oregon. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Trim, why don't you talk about that game, actually?
Oh, you said Colorado, right?
No. How did you hear Colorado?
Oh, because that's the game I got on here.
Oh, I just pointed out Ohio State, Oregon. I was talking about that game, the matchup, 2-3.
What's there to talk about?
What do you mean, what is there to
What's there to talk about? Ohio State's going to win, and I think it's going to be a pretty convincing win. We just talked about it. Jeremiah hasn't had that big game yet or that convincing win. You know, it's been, you know.
In Eugene?
Yeah. All right. I think it's probably going to be like a 35 to about a 17 game. Ohio State's going to exert their dominance, show they're the best team in the country. I mean, or top two in the country, you know, with Texas. But, yeah, not much to talk about there. Let's talk about this Colorado game, though. Man, this is it right here. This is going to make or break the season for Deion and Shador, Trav. This is that Heisman game. You know, he did the Heisman against UCF, I believe, after that interception. But, nah, this right here, this is the moment.
I believe it's a statement game, but, I mean, looking at the rest of their schedule, it does kind of shape up how they do in the rest of the Big 12, but that's your biggest game of the season?
Kansas State.
Definitely.
doesn't Florida play Tennessee, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, no, they do.
No, they're going to get smoked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a realist.
I don't know what Florida
We is. Are building some momentum, though.
Yeah?
Wait.
I was just asking Trim. That's
we
all.
We are building some momentum. But I'd be a fool if I was like...
Trim, we got to choose a team.
This man say we, and you don't know who he's talking about.
Right. I was like, are we pulling up Ohio State, Colorado, Florida?
It's like we're building momentum. Beat Mississippi State. Beat UCF. Beat UCF, though.
I mean,
how many of us thought we were going to win that game?
I had confidence Florida was going to beat UCF. UCF isn't looking that great. KJ Jefferson is sure, he's a big dude, but as a quarterback, he's been pretty much obsolete.
He's great on NCAA. Love playing with UCF, though.
Yeah, we're talking about real life, man.
But yeah, Florida, they're picking up some steam. That's why I sent that text message in the group chat. Like, they're probably going to make a bowl game this year.
You're banking on them beating Kentucky.
Yes.
And... God, who else they need to beat? Kentucky.
They might be Ole Miss. If they beat Kentucky, they can beat Ole Miss. And then I believe, we're beating Florida State.
Beat Florida State.
No, that's we're gonna watch Florida State. Yeah, Florida State's trash.
G, who you looking forward to?
I'm gonna say the Texas Oklahoma game, yeah. Just because I mean Texas is number one team in the nation, and like we seen last week, ain't nobody safe. You know what I mean? We can have another shakeup in these rankings again, and you know, both teams, like you said, both teams playing in the SEC for the first time, playing each other in the SEC. So, you know, that's going to be a good one. But I give tremendous props. Colorado and every time Colorado plays, it's an intriguing, like, watch to kind of see, because to me, I feel like I never really know how they're going to play until they're actually playing. So, if they can knock off a ranked team, you know, that may be a good sign for things to come. But I ain't going to lie, they don't got the most favorable, you know, schedule too. So,
you want to know what's funny? Who I had said this like for the last 2 weeks. You know who's at the top of the rankings in the SEC right now? Take a guess.
I just saw it. Texas A&M?
Texas A&M is the number one team in the SEC by the standings. Yeah. So not only is this Texas game huge, because if they lose to Oklahoma, they drop down below LSU and Georgia, pushing them almost out of contention for the
SEC. How's that possible?
Conference record. They just beat Mizzou too.
And they played more games.
Oh.
When did
they like algorithm, I don't know how to say this.
Algorithm?
Based off the algorithm, Texas A&M is still the number one statistical best team, or number one team in the ranking.
They only have one loss, right?
Texas A&M, I believe is, yes, they have one loss.
And,
they're top 15 team, they play Mississippi State. So if they beat Mississippi State, they remain pretty much, if I'm not mistaken, they remain unbeaten in the SEC.
Yeah, because
now you have an Oklahoma and a Texas team with one loss in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, that's what makes that game so huge.
So just because they played more games, they're first, but they're still undefeated teams in the SEC, right? Like Texas
in the SEC. Yeah, they beat Florida, they beat Arkansas, they beat Missouri. Missouri was a huge game for them, and now if they beat Mississippi State, you're looking at that Week 12 Texas A&M game. Even though it's already a rivalry renewed, an even bigger amplitude of that.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting.
Also, Ole Miss versus LSU. Also looking forward to that game.
Country would have a whole spiel on that.
Shout out Country, man. Let's talk about some NFL guys. The Jets fired Robert Saleh. Was it premature? G looks puzzled.
Very.
Man, I don't know what and who the Jets are right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what and who Aaron Rodgers is anymore. It could be more premature. I don't know, man. You know those New York franchises, you know, as soon as something ain't going right, they ready to bust some. All them big markets, the LAs and all that too. I'm not gonna lie though. First of all, let me just say the escort out the building is crazy.
Wild.
The escort building out, like, you can't, like, he can't give like one last address to the team or something like that. You know what I mean? But could it be Aaron Rodgers and coach didn't you know, get along?
The question is Robert Saleh a scapegoat for it?
Exactly. And how many years are you going to get Aaron Rodgers? Let's say Robert Saleh was to turn out to be like an extraordinary coach, like in his next role or whatever. Like, and you get what, a year or two out of Aaron Rodgers, now you kind of sold out.
Coach and a quarterback.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think it's a lot of things that are going wrong. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers played, what, 20 seconds last year? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
four snaps.
I walked in the kitchen, made me a grilled cheese sandwich, and came back, and Aaron Rodgers out for the season. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's going to take time. Even when, like, the Jets aren't looking, I'm like, all right, Aaron Rodgers is just coming back. But, you know, that kind of was a serious injury that he got last year. I just think it takes more time. See, what week we're on? 5, 6?
You know what I mean? Week 6.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it get to week 10, you know, maybe, I don't know, it got to be somewhere between that 5 and 10, just so it's not too late if you still got playoff hopes. But I don't know, man. I just know that escort out the building was crazy, and I know that was a crazy sight to see.
In a report from ESPN, Jets owner said the decision to fire Saleh was mine alone, and Aaron Rodgers blasted reporters for saying that he caused the fire.
Cap.
But I will say, his record at the Jets has been
He hasn't had a positive.
He hasn't had a good record,
But the last 2 years.
Now, yes,
he went 7.
Last year was a throwaway though. Last year was a throwaway year just cause Aaron Rodgers went down when I was making my 10.
I'll let him finish off the season, but I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if my money's going towards my stocks in the Jets, I'm gonna do what I feel like is best for the franchise. I can't say that it's the right move, but if the move for them makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is definitely premature in my opinion because of the circumstances. You have a quarterback coming off of an injury, so it's basically his first year with the team, his first year with the wide receivers, O-line. So it's like you have to let him adjust to their tendencies and stuff. So, and yes, it was an offensive issue, so I think you let go of the coordinator first before you let go of the head coach.
Absolutely.
Because the head coach, his defense is amazing, but Nathaniel Hackett's offense has been like lackluster. Like, you can't just put up 9 points against the Denver Broncos. You just can't do that.
So. Actually, they just made the passing game coordinator their offensive play caller for the next upcoming game, Todd Downing.
I was about to say, wasn't they talking about Saleh was thinking about like switching who the play caller was or something like that?
So you can fire him and take his idea.
Like, that's pretty much what happened, man.
But hold up. They wanted, who was he going to put? He was going to put Downing as the guy? Saleh?
I believe
but
so.
But isn't Hackett, that's Aaron Rodgers' guy, though, too.
Hackett's Aaron Rodgers' guy.
I don't know, man. It just sounds like it's a lot going on over there, you know.
I see some stuff we don't know, but it was premature for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. Davante Adams still on the trade market. What do you guys think is the best team that fits for Devontae?
The A.
You know what I'm saying?
Why the A?
What you mean? If you want to win, he better come to the A. What you mean?
If he want to win, he better go to the Chiefs.
Oh, I thought you were about to say the Eagles. I was about to say, we already know. I went to y'all funeral this year. My fault. Let's stay on topic. My fault.
Continue. What do you think?
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs missing out on receivers, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. I think that's a good feeling. I think it's good to see Mahomes like get a playmaking receiver like that, be able to help the offense out a little more. Not just have Travis Kelce, but also have Worthy and Adams. That would be a good dynamic duo between those two. So I think he also teaches Worthy a couple of things as well. So
I like where your head at, but do we need him?
Who's we? I'm not with you.
No. I'm not.
I know what you're
saying.
Hold on.
He said we, and five teams just ran through my mind when he said we.
You gotta spin the wheel.
Do we need him? I like this Xavier Worthy kid. He's been playing some really good ball.
But you gonna rely on Juju as your receiver too?
No.
So then I think Adams is the next best guy to go for if he's on the trade block.
When you got 15, it really don't matter who 1, 2, or 3 in the line.
Do y'all see a world where he reunite with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was gonna say just with my second team. Yeah. I think that'll be a weird fit with Garrett Wilson.
The coaching switch going on right now. Yeah. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think you wanna go to a worse situation. Like, you wanna go to a good situation. So
it depends on what he wants as a player. So I got two destinations that nobody's really been talking about. Either the Commanders.
Oh my god, that was my team. keep going.
Either the Commanders or I was listening to Stephen A. And listen, say what you want about Stephen A, but sometimes he ball. And I'm not saying that he don't all the time, but he'd be outlandish. But he would made a case for Davante Adams going to the Cowboys. And the more I listen to it, the more I'm starting to piece the puzzles together. If you're having an offense that is struggling without a running identity, right? You're banking on paying Dak Prescott all this money. What are you as a coach, coordinator, and owner trying to do to elevate your offense? If you can't run the ball, you're going to give him more weapons to throw to. If you want a player who's going to push for the max contract you can get and wanting to win and at least change the culture of a team, Cowboys may be the way to go.
That sounds weird, but I can actually see that. Their running game is non-existent. Brandon Cooks looks slow out there. I mean, Davante Adams would be actually a pretty good fit. But as an Eagles fan, no, I don't want that to happen. We good.
Yeah, so Jalen already spoiled it for me. He said the Commanders. I think that's probably like the most intriguing fit and like the one I want to see the most, because Jaden Daniels playing like the best quarterback in the NFL right now, at least in the NFC.
Absolutely.
Cliff Kingsbury, his offense is, it's poetry. So it's like, if you drop him in there, move Terry to number two, Devontae's obviously wide receiver one. I think if that happens, Jaden Daniels is going to win MVP. And the Commanders are going to the Super Bowl. If not the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship game. No. Because I'm very high on the Vikings as well.
Yeah.
So I think that'd probably be my NFC Championship game.
Is Vikings and Commanders?
Yeah, Vikings. If this happens, this is an if this happens situation. Okay. But if it doesn't and the Commanders still play this well, they still might get there. They still might.
I know.
What is so funny,
bro? Look at that Jeff, bro. Jeff is killing me back here.
The NFC hasn't been exciting to me now. It's just the Niners. They haven't. They disappointed me. They disappointed me this far. The Lions, they're up there as well. I'm gonna give them their respect. But they're not even the best team in the division.
So who would you say the best team in the division is right now?
It's the Vikings. In the NFC North. Okay, yeah.
Obviously.
The NFC South. They're gonna spend too much time during the season fighting each other. They're just a wild card team that's gonna lose. Get a home field game. Probably drop it to a better opponent.
Wow, the NFC East is pretty bad. I didn't realize it's that bad. Okay.
Yeah, the Commanders are gonna command that division and win it. So,
bro, that is so funny.
I didn't think it was funny, but you know.
Never mind. It's cool.
Well, what you finna say, Jay?
You said the NFC East is bad?
Yes.
It's terrible.
If you're going to look.
I don't think it's terrible.
And your team is in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eagles have not been playing well. I'm not going to say Eagles. I'm saying the Giants have been playing much better than I think people give them credit for. That deep. Yeah, the record says 2-3, but their defense, when they had 7 sacks against the Seahawks last game or something like that?
That's not saying something. I'm getting in the backfield with the Seahawks.
Okay. I think the NFC East isn't as bad as people give it credit for. I think the Eagles, I'm not going to use injuries as an excuse. People tell me not to do that, but I think let the Eagles come back healthy. Let us get A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith back. Let the game come back to them.
What happens if they keep turning the ball over?
I was just about to get there. That, you know what? That's the topic coming up. I'm going to wait.
We're already here.
Okay.
Who's had the bigger
I'll admit.
That's the question.
Who's had the bigger letdown so far? The Cowboys or the Eagles?
What I was going to say about Hurts is you are all 100% right. He has a hero ball mentality, and it causes turnovers a lot of times. However, I cannot say the Eagles are a letdown, considering that they had a one-point loss to the Atlanta Falcons that happened because Saquon Barkley has my hands for some reason out there. You got...
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Go ahead.
So, yeah. If... Let's just talk about... Let's just say NFL teams. If the Atlanta Falcons lose a game by 3 points... And the Eagles lose a game by 1 point. They both lost, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many points. Y'all lost, but keep going.
Okay. Anyways, my point being, we don't have... You saying a letdown, we're comparing us to the Cowboys. I'm saying our losses, except for the loss against the Buccaneers, we played in 200-degree weather on a 1 p.m. in Tampa Bay. Yes. No, that mattered. I don't care. That mattered. That game without Devontae Smith, no Lane Johnson, no AJ Brown. Can y'all give us some slack, please?
No, I can't
give y'all give us some slack.
33.
Now, if I say this, I'll be getting cooked in the group chat saying, "Oh, the Falcons just suck." Because I was told my team was gonna go 0-5.
Who said that?
Who said?
I don't even remember saying that.
Anyway,
I can pull up the message right now. It wasn't none of y'all though.
Okay. Anyways,
but it don't matter. None of y'all came for the backup. That's the thing though.
Let me lock in just say this. As for the Eagles, my biggest take to say. The Saints were, 2-0? Looked good. Blew out the Cowboys and the Panthers. They looked good, right? Then what happened? Who'd they play? When did losses start? When they played us? with no AJ Brown, Devontae Smith out with a concussion, no Lane Johnson. How can we be a letdown? I don't think we're a letdown. I think we're not as good. I think we expected us to be better, but I think with the circumstance that we're under, I can't say that I'm mad at where we are. We're 2-2, coming off a bye week, about to play Cleveland Browns. I think it could be much better, but I'm not gonna say it's a letdown. I think we can easily still win the division.
I don't think the Cowboys signed anybody in free agency, and if they did, it was very minimal. Y'all signed Saquon Barkley, and y'all are trash. Like,
what makes you say what makes you say we're trash? Like, what's the, like, why? We have one bad loss.
I'm looking at it now. Y'all have two games where y'all scored under 17 points. The offense is not scoring the ball well. The defense, it's decent, but
it's decent.
It's decent, and y'all turn the ball over way too much.
You saying it's okay? We turn the ball over way too much. That's the one thing you said that was right. Our red zone defense is very efficient. It's the reason why we beat the Packers in Brazil. I just feel like you can't say our defense is trash or terrible in any way. I think our defense is why we've been in these games. Offensively, I'll give you that. However, I'm saying we have to look at the circumstance that they're under. If Chris Godwin and Mike Evans went out right now, and Tristan Wirfs was out as well, you mean to tell me the Buccaneers gonna let the same team?
We don't know.
Oh, okay.
The Buccaneers.
What's going on? Is there like a rift between Jalen Hurts and Sirianni, just from your assessment?
From my assessment, yes, I feel like Hurts, it's a mentality thing too. I mean, Jeff has said this in the group chat too. He just wanna play hero ball. His pocket presence is terrible. He never knows, like, it's times when he should take off and he doesn't. It's times where he gets fumbles, like from staying in the pocket too long, trying to force a play. He doesn't look like how he did when he went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Is there a world where Sirianni get escorted out the building?
Yes. it's gonna fall on Sirianni before it falls on Hurts. And it's terrible to say, but it will fall on Sirianni before it falls on Hurts.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I'm looking at y'all's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got three more wins on y'all's schedule. Everything else,
read off.
The Browns?
Win.
Y'all gonna right. The Giants?
Win.
Right. The Bengals?
Win.
No. The Jags?
Win.
No.
What are you talking about? What makes you say Jags over us?
I'm not an Eagles fan either, but what are we doing here?
What are you? Okay.
I think the Jags are going to turn their season around.
They turn it around, but not against us. It'll start with us.
I'm thinking the Jags will turn their season around.
It'll start with us.
The Cowboys.
Get this down so we can have this for
the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to beat y'all. The Commanders wash y'all. The Rams probably wash y'all too. The Ravens definitely going to wash y'all. Y'all got the Panthers game. That's y'all third game that y'all going to win. Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys again. Oh, I forgot. I just seen the Giants game. Y'all gonna win four more games. My fault.
That is bold.
He said it. Just mark it down. We'll come back to this. That's all I gotta say. But so y'all all saying we're a bigger letdown than the Cowboys though. That's the question.
I don't agree that the letdown is that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of the question, yeah. No, actually, sorry, take that back. Cowboys have been in the context of the question. Yes, you guys are the bigger letdown
than the Cowboys.
I didn't expect much from the Cowboys to begin with.
That's fair.
I'll say that too, because the Cowboys forgot free agency was going on until like
what?
Like they was waiting like for
Jerry
Jesus.
Jones, listen, I mess with them, but Jerry Jones and Mickey from the Heat, yeah, they're up there.
Okay,
wake up.
Okay.
And you see, you can the Cowboys, they so unserious. They out here losing and Jerry Jones landing helicopters in the middle of the field during practice. Come on, man.
From that context, okay, but I just look at it. They're supposed to be a top five defense. You let the Saints put up 44 on you. You letting Justin, well, they let decent against Justin Fields and the Steelers, but I still think they should have played much better against the Steelers defensively. I don't know. I think that there's still a letdown somewhere in the Cowboys.
It's both letdowns, but I really wasn't expecting much from the Cowboys just for that reason. Like I said, they didn't.
I just think their rushing game is
nobody was expecting.
There was no nothing during the offseason.
And when you signed Saquon, we were thinking, like, this Eagles team could really be special.
I feel like
you're struggling off the offensive line, but.
You signed Saquon, you signed Paris Campbell, you signed CJ.
You say Paris Campbell?
Mekhi Becton. You signed Landon
Dickerson. Johnson Jr. is one of the most penalized players in the NFL.
I'll give you that.
Call that as. Like,
you said who?
CJ Gardner Johnson.
Oh, okay.
The safety.
Okay. Right. You're right, yeah. And then. You also signed Devin White. Like, they made...
He just got released.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They made moves. The Cowboys' biggest move was bringing back Ezekiel Elliott. Like, and Eric Kendricks. That was a good move. But they didn't make no moves for real.
So. Okay. I don't know. 44 points by Derek Carr and the Saints just screams out to me something's not right with the Cowboys' defense. Everyone played then, too.
But nobody expected the Cowboys to be this world beater in the NFC. They didn't make no moves.
Okay. I only thing I thought of them was the rushing game was going to be terrible. I didn't think they brought in the running backs they needed to. I think the defense should have still been the same. I think the passing game should have still been the same.
And it's no hate. It's just like, because I like Jalen Hurts. I'm a really big fan. I'm just, the way the NFL season's going, it's just, it doesn't look
okay. You say Cowboys or Eagles are bigger lockdown too?
Yeah, but it's not by a big stretch, honestly. Okay. Yeah.
I can respect that.
Moving on. Quick picks. Week six, quick picks.
Oh, wait. I thought it was which game we're looking forward to.
You're right. We can do that. Alrighty. Week six is here. Which games are we looking forward to the most, G?
I'm trying to pull up the schedule right now.
I'll just go ahead and say the Commanders, as an NFC East team favorite, them going against the Ravens. Right now, it's going to be a game I'm looking forward to. Jaden Daniels versus Lamar Jackson. I'm excited to see how that plays out. I think it's going to tell me a lot about the Commanders in terms of going forward. The Bengals game showed me a little bit, but I just got to see it against the Ravens. I think it's really going to show me where they stand at in the NFC as well. Even though they play in the AFC team, I think it really showed their dominance.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the home team here, Bucks and New Orleans. Obviously, this is a must-win game for us. We can't afford to go down to both the Falcons and the Saints.
I ain't even say nothing.
Dennis Allen said that Spencer Rattler's gonna give him the best chance to win. I find that highly unlikely.
Even
in the context of what's going on right now in Tampa, it's gonna mean a lot to people to win this game. Obviously, it's a kind of a bitter rivalry in the division, so I'd say that's my game for week six.
I'd say the Monday night game, the Jets versus the Bills, just to kind of see the Jets come out for the first. You know, after teams let go of coaches, they come out and play like super hype and all that type of stuff. Yeah, exactly. So I'm interested to see how they come out. And Bills just coming off a loss against the Texans. So I'm ready to see how both of those teams respond after kind of seeing some adversity this past week.
Watch the Falcons drop.
The Niners.
Hey, man, get that hate out your heart, man. we beat you, buddy. Talk to me when you win.
Listen, we just ran out of time.
The Niners.
What is it on that record? They say L, ain't it?
One more drive.
Y'all let our fifth string receiver score the game winning touchdown.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Where the players play.
My game. Thought about taking the Thursday night football game because if the Niners drop that, they could be smoked for the rest of the season too. Not looking too hot, but I'm gonna go with the. There's a lot of good games. I'm going to go with the Bills and Jets as well. Yeah, I'm going to go with Bills and Jets as well. You know, Jets coming off of firing their head coach. I was very high on them this season. I thought they could win about 13 games this year. Not looking too hot. I thought they was going to win the division as well. And they still could.
Speaking of the Thursday night game, are we primed for like another good Thursday night game? I feel like the Falcons and the Bucks took all the shine from everybody last week.
We set the standard for what Thursday night
is. Yeah, like you gotta be on that like for Thursday night.
Who is the Thursday night slot?
49ers and Seahawks.
Okay, I mean, that's normally a pretty good rivalry.
Oh, I had another game. It was the Cardinals and Packers. Cardinals sitting at 2-3 right now. Depending on how tonight's game goes and how they play on Sunday, they could be in a good position to, you know, be first in the division if they come win next week. So the Cards, and I definitely picked them to win the division, was really high on Kyler coming into the year. So that's another game I'm looking forward to.
I'm sorry, this is still, like, it's still.
Cause what they I wasn't going to talk. Hold on, they got two wins right now?
Yeah, we're 2-2.
So you got them going 6-11?
It's not possible. He said we losing to the Rams. He said that with confidence. He said Rams lost and he kept going. And Jaguars.
It was still on my computer screen, so I had to ask again. Because you had the Jets winning 13 games this season.
Yeah, that was before the season. You know, when the season starts, you can change your expectations. Like, before the season started, I probably had the Eagles winning the division. But now the season started, we're 6 weeks in, a quarter in. I mean, not a quarter, 33%.
I'll give you Ravens. Maybe Bengals, but they don't know how to finish games.
At all.
I can't say Steelers, nah. I'm not saying Steelers. I'll give you one Cowboys game. That's all I'm going to give you. Other than that, anyway, a Commanders game too. At Washington, but not at the Lincoln. Not at Lincoln.
It's only like five more games. Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Like, yo. Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about quick picks, man. Y'all funny guys, man.
Nah. It's
Thursday night football.
Rams and Jaguars?
Thursday night football. Niners, Seahawks. Who we got? Let's go round table. He said it. I'll say it too. Seahawks. Say it, G.
Seahawks.
Yeah, I know it. I want to go Seahawks. I'm going to say Niners.
It's supposed to be a clean sweep. Jags and Bears. I'll start 9:30 game. Jags season. Come on.
Jags.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Bounce back for Caleb Williams, Bears.
Okay. No clean sweeps yet. Bucks, Saints. I don't think we're going to get a clean sweep here either.
Why we won't? You got Spencer Rattler being the Bucks?
I'm going to say Bucks.
Bucks?
Saints. Bucks. I'm going to pick the Saints.
You got Spencer Rattler beating the Bucks?
I do. Ravens, Commanders.
Ravens.
Ooh, big DMV matchup. I'm going to go Commanders here.
Commanders.
I like them over the DMV. They're the new DMV powerhouse.
Where the game at?
Baltimore.
Man, what is this? It's DMV though. I'm gonna say Ravens.
I think that Ravens defense is gonna give Jaden Daniels a run for his money.
I haven't seen anybody give Jaden Daniels that many.
He might get his welcome to like the NFL.
That's right.
Welcome
I feel
to
like
the league type of
you
game
know
this weekend.
Because remember,
I kind of redact my pick. Yeah, I'm gonna go Ravens here.
Yeah. I'm gonna stick with
same thing happened to CJ Stroud in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that now.
Cards, Packers. I'm gonna go Cards.
Go Pack, go.
Cheeseheads.
Packers.
Okay. Colts, Titans. No clean sweeps yet, by the way.
Colts. Joe Flacco playing, right?
I believe so.
If he playing, I'm saying Colts.
Colts are too banged up for me right now. I think that the Titans have much more to lose than to win right now. So I'm going to go Titans here.
I'm going to take Flacco on the Colts.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts as well. I could clean sweep probably right here. Texas Patriots.
Texans.
You were way
too Wait, Drake May starting, right?
Yeah, that's why I hesitated. Just as Drake May start. Just say Texans.
I don't know. I'm going to go with the Texans, though.
It's the safest pick. I'm excited to see how Drake May looks.
Keep an eye on that game. Browns, Eagles. Eagles. That's that game I told y'all I was going to win. One of the four.
Eagles. I had to think. I was like, did he say he was going to win that game? Yeah, Eagles.
Okay, Broncos, Chargers. I'm going to go Broncos.
I can't bet against the Broncos.
They've been finding a way to win games. They keep finding ways to win games.
Yeah, like, what they did to us, man, I was like, all right, I look at the Broncos with a new level of respect. I'm going to go Broncos here.
But Chargers come off a bye week, though. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not always a good thing, though.
It's not always a good thing. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to go Chargers. Put faith in the Chargers.
I'm going to say Broncos.
Steelers, Raiders.
Steelers.
Falcons, Pate. Falcons, Panthers.
Panthers.
I'm just saying the Panthers have the way to the funniest thing ever.
Upset of the week.
What? Panthers. I mean, our whole division would just look crazy.
Did you hear me? Panthers.
Upset of the week.
Georgia on my mind. Georgia! I'm taking the Falcons, man. Come on, I'll be for real.
That's my upset of the week. Let's go, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I'm putting
y'all picking that off based off of hate though.
No, it's no hate. Like it's I already no got hate. The storyline in my head. This is what I want to see. Andy Dalton go out there, he get hurt. Bryce Young come in fourth quarter, win the game.
Why'd you risking on? He's man wishing injuries. What? Man, make your pick, man.
I said Panthers.
Okay, not. All right.
Lions, Cowboys. I'm thinking the Lions.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Lions.
Who home?
Lions.
Lions, Cowboys.
The Lions are home?
No, you didn't answer.
No, I'm saying like who's home? Like,
oh Cowboys.
It's in Dallas.
I'm gonna go Cowboys.
I mean, look at the Cowboys schedule. Bengals, Giants.
Well, first of all, why is this a Sunday night game?
I didn't even see the time slot for that. Wow.
Why? Can somebody answer that before we answer?
The Giants been playing better.
NFL flex games.
Yeah, but the Ravens and Commanders game. The Ravens and Commanders game.
It could be
CBS.
A good game.
Why?
It could be a good game.
Why?
This could be a good game.
It could be a good game. I'm gonna take the Bengals though.
So that Giants defense, like, it's something about them. I've been liking watching them play.
I gotta agree with EJ here. I'm gonna go Giants.
All right. Wait. Whoa. You're taking the Giants?
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants.
I said I like watching the Giants defense, but I didn't say I was taking the Giants. I'm going with the Bengals.
My fault, boy.
Bills, Jets. I'm going with the Jets.
I'm going to say the Jets because they're going to get that new coach boost type of thing.
Yeah.
You can go Bills. There's too much controversy going on in New York right now. Well, it's still New York, but other part of New York.
The Jets gonna win and the next thing gonna be like, well, what the boy name that got escort? Was Robert the problem?
I don't think that'll be the case either.
Aaron Rodgers gonna go out and throw like 500 and gonna be like, oh.
But I will say though, on the flip side of that, if Aaron Rodgers plays poor, people are gonna look at that coaching decision very differently.
I thought this game could be a shootout.
It could be.
The Bills coming off back to back losses. I think this is a statement game for them. Yeah, go ahead and establish dominance in the AFC East. Show that they're still the clear favorites. They come out there, they're gonna win it.
Alrighty, that's all the picks. Alrighty, now we're gonna talk about the pick'em segment. We're gonna have Jay Scott explain it.
So at the end of the season, we take a tally of our pick'em segments on Halftime with the Playmakers, see who truly knows ball. We'll go off a percentage, and if the percentages are the same, then we'll take who had more wins at the end of the season.
Alrighty, appreciate you. Starting off at the top so far with our pick'em segment, Jeff leads us right now 20-6, followed by Ahmad Kibi and Country at both 15-10. Then we go to Jay Scott. He's 11-6, followed by Gerald G, and then me at 5-4, and then EJ at 4-4. Now this concludes Halftime with the Playmakers. Now on to our favorite segment, shout outs. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. Love my friends. Got to shout them out as well. The guys in the studio, family. You know, just got to keep working, make everybody proud.
I want to say thank you to my Lord and Savior. want to thank my parents. I was able to go home last weekend. Really needed that recharge. Appreciate your dad. And, you know, prayers for Tampa right now. Everybody going through some tough times with these storms. Keep your head up.
I want to shout out my Lord and Savior. Sending prayers to everyone affected by Hurricane Milton. And also shout out to the last week of football. I mean, all the upsets, all the good games. So shout out to all that.
Yeah, man. First of all, shout out to God, man. Shout out to the city, Savannah, Georgia. Shout out to everybody and prayers to everybody affected by Hurricane Milton and Hurricane Helene. Thoughts are with you. Hope everybody shaking back good. And right now, my favorite number is 64 because I got 64 days till I graduate.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WNM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.